It's a treat to be here this morning, and I love the Lord, and honored to be at Cornerstone, and I did come bearing gifts to the preacher and his wife. We made cookies last night, and we woke up yesterday and kind of rested, and she made French toast. We didn't have any cinnamon, but we did have some Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal. So she crunched up the Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal and sprinkled it on there and made some French toast. And then we had some eggs. And man, then we went back and we piddled around some more. She'd made some chili. Then we got into the cookies. I need everybody to look up here real quick. The last time I was here, I was a small preacher. Thin as in, fat's where it's at. And I figured I could get a lot of amens right there, I'm assuring you. I stepped on judgment this morning, and she started crying, and she told me how much I weighed, and I started crying. And I've decided, you know, you ain't no need in dieting yet. Christmas hadn't come. Let's just start her out on the new year. And man, I'm telling you, it's an honor for me to be here. I mean that. And I know she wanted to come there at the home church. They're having a Christmas program, and they're working on that. That some things going on. Unable. She had to, a prior arrangement this afternoon, and or she'd be here. But if you have your Bible, I believe the last time I was here, I was in the book of Luke. I want to go back to the book of Luke. Go to Luke chapter 15. I preached out of the book of Luke, I believe, the last night of the revival. Now, I believe I could preach that same sermon, and some of you wouldn't remember it. Don't amen. Or grunt. I'm not going to preach the same sermon. But I do want to go back there again. And if the Lord doesn't change me tonight, we'll preach again. I'll preach evangelistic and as well as to the church again tonight. You don't want to miss tonight at all. But let's first go to Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. When you get to verse 11, would you shout a big amen?
Amen.
Now, if you said amen, or even if you didn't, I want you to stand, and I'll tell off on my little boy. My son Aiden, Brother Carl, is 11. Several times a year, many times a year, if I'm near home, my little boy Aiden will go with me to hear his daddy preach. And every time he goes, I make one mistake. I ask him, how long does he want me to preach? And Aiden will say, Daddy, shorten it down tonight. Don't do that long sermon. And he does this every time. Short sermon. Now, I'm not going to make any promises. Aiden's not here. But I am going to obey the Lord, and I tease a lot about time, and I do respect your time, and I'm going to give you what the Lord has given me, and I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I'll just go over the material, the stuff that I feel is appropriate for you on this day. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, it's an interesting verse, spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Let's get the first phrase of verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father." I want everybody in the sanctuary to look up here. I've read you the Bible account of the prodigal son. I want to preach this morning for the next few moments on the heart of the wayward son. The heart of the wayward son. Father, I thank you today for the reading of the Word of God. I thank you for every man, every lady, every boy and girl. There is no doubt that you have been in this place. God, we've basked in your glory. We have sensed the divine guest, the second person of the Godhead. We thank you, Father, that you are here and that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. We do thank you for Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But God, we've come today. We've opened your divine book. We've read from heaven's divine library. I pray for a moment and a moment or so as I rightly divide the word of truth. If there's anybody today that is lost, let this be the day they'd recognize they're a sinner in need of a Savior. God, move in the altar. God, just as important as the preaching, I pray you'd move in the altar. Speak to us now as we huddle around the Word of God, and we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Brother Carl, just for time's sake, I will address the congregation today and remind us that this is one entire parable. Luke chapter 15 is one entire parable. It is divided into three parts. You say, "Man of God, are you going to preach all three parts?" We don't have time to preach all three parts. The first story is about a lost sheep. The second story is about a lost silver. Then the third story, the one I'm going to preach from, is the lost son. Now, I said I wasn't going to preach it, but when you're an evangelist, you ain't got nothing but time. The first story that's about a lost sheep, I'm glad I can look you in the eye today and tell you there is a loving shepherd searching for the lost sheep. Then when we look at the lost silver, there is a diligent sweeper. There is a sweeper who is searching for the lost silver. Then in the concluding parable, the concluding story about a lost son, I'm glad that I can look you in the eye and tell you that there is a father who is looking for the lost son. But when I began to put the little sermon together about the heart of the wayward son, I said, "God," and God dealt with me. I said, "God, there's not one mention of the word heart." But I do know, Brother Carl, the Bible said that talks about the heart. It says, "Keep thy heart." And it said, "With all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." If you agree with that, would you shout a big amen? So we understand the importance of the heart. We can see things in a man's life or a lady's life by their conduct and their character. We can find out what is living inside their heart. I got wonderful news. I don't know who's keeping up. I'm not even going to tell you how many points I got, because that no need anybody getting nervous. Somebody grin right there. I want you to write this down. I'm going to preach number one. I want to show you about the wayward heart, the wayward, wandering heart. I want to show you number one. He has a sensual heart. Let me say it again. He has a sensual heart. He is only focused, I want you to listen to this line. He is only focused on material things. He is only interested in carnal things, fleshly things. You say, man of God, what are you talking about? I want you to understand, when you think about a sensual heart, you got to understand he's only majoring on temporary things. Things that don't last. Things that are just for a moment. And someone said, man of God, would you explain that to me? Here's what the Bible said. The Bible says that he approaches his father. And he says, Father, give me the portion of goods that belongs to me. And his daddy divided the goods between both boys. If that's Bible, would you shout amen? Both boys benefited from the baby boy's request. And not many days, it's going to get interesting. Not many days he takes his money. He takes his inheritance and he wastes it. He wastes it on riotous living. And you say, man of God, what do you mean? Listen to the statement. He is only interested in carnal things, in fleshly things. Matter of fact, the obvious statement, he's not interested in the supernatural. He's not interested in the spiritual. He is only interested in the carnal. Now, I don't know. I know we're in the Christmas season. And I heard Sister Mary, and she began to talk about what the main thing is. Hey, would you agree with me? It is easy in this culture to become more about the carnal and more about the flesh than the things of God. It is easy to get caught up. And this boy in this text has a sensual heart. Now, don't get in a hurry. You say, man of God, what does it mean? Here's the sermon. So he's not interested in cultivating, Brother Carl, a life of righteousness, a life of holiness, a life of serving God. He is only interested in things that don't last. And I said, isn't that a mouthful? I'm dealing with a generation that are more interested in things that don't last than things that are eternal. And you say, man of God, I wish to the Lord that you'd put the jelly on the bottom shelf. Ladies and gentlemen, this world wants you to have a sensual heart. The enemy of your soul wants you to have a sensual heart. But everybody look up here. What Jesus does for a man is eternal. What Jesus does for a lady is eternal. It's not temporary. It is eternal. Now, I will make this statement. I got to go. But I said he had a sensual heart. And God said, Derek, remind the church. And Brother Carl, as a traveling evangelist, and I believe we're in a good church. I believe we're in a Bible-believing church. But I want you to look up here. If the church needs, if there ever was a day that the church of the living God needs to cultivate righteousness and the attributes of God, we are living in that day. So he had a sensual heart. I cannot believe it. It's about as fast as I've ever preached. Point one. I won't give you number two. He has a sensual heart. I want you to write this down. Very interesting. I've never seen it in the text before. Number two, he has a severed heart.
Let me make that statement and let it marinate on your heart. Let it contemplate over your heart and soul. Just contemplate and think about it for a moment. He had a severed heart. I said, God, what do you want me to say about a severed heart? Here's what it means. It basically means cut off. Let me word it a little different. Not only cut off, it means no more attachment. Huh. Everybody look up here. I mean, this would be a real good example if it's a little gory, it's a little gruesome. But if they cut my hand off at my wrist, And my hand lay on the ground and my arm was up here, would you get the mental picture? It's been cut off. It has been disattached. That's easy for a boy from Arkansas. What's the right word? It's been severed. Yeah, that's what I'm preaching. Sometimes you just got to go back to the basics. It's been severed. It's been cut off. It's no longer there. Now listen, I said, okay, God. I said, what about this boy? He said, Derek, this boy wants to, listen to it. He wants to sever his heart from his father. He doesn't want to live by the father's rules and the father's commands. He doesn't want to live under the shadow of the father. He wants to sever his relationship with his father. If you agree with that, would you shout a big amen? Amen. So he has a sensual heart and he has a severed heart. And I said, boy, God, that's interesting. Brother Carl, sometimes preacher, when the Lord gives you sermons and thoughts, it becomes better and it begins to touch your heart. And I said, okay, God, he has a sensual heart. He's only concerned about temporary things. And now, God, he has a severed heart. He doesn't want to have a relationship with the Father. He doesn't want the Father's rules or the Father's commands. He wants to do what he wants to do. And listen to this statement that brought tears into my eyes. And I said, God, wow, what a picture, what a painting, what a story. He said, Derek, he said, not only was his heart sensual, not only was his heart severed, he said, but Derek, listen to this. He thought the far country table was better than his father's table. If I wasn't so dignified, I'd stop right there and shout myself. I'm telling you, he thought the far country table was better than the Father's table. Hey, everybody look up here. Can I preach to you on a Sunday morning in December in Roland, Oklahoma at the Cornerstone Free Will Baptist Church? I've sat at the far country table and I've sat at the Father's table. And can I tell you, there is no table like your Father's table. There is no table like the God of Heaven's table. I don't care what the world tells you. I don't care what they tell you, young man. What the world paints for you, young lady. Listen to the man of God. This boy has a sensual heart and a severed heart. And God began to ring it true in my heart. Now, I just want to make this statement. And I believe it's relevant for this culture. This boy in this text saw his father as the enemy. And I said, wow, what are you trying to tell me? I never would agree. I'd have never thought this as a 42-year-old evangelist. Can I tell y'all something interesting on a Sunday morning? There's people on this planet that think I'm the enemy. It's going over real good. If I have to amen, it's going to take twice as long. They think I'm the enemy because I tell them the truth. Brother Carl, I know you're an old-fashioned preacher. God's got his hand on you. I won't say this. Everybody don't like your sermons. Amen. And sometimes because the man of God gets in the pulpit and rightly divides the word of truth and preaches the Bible, would you agree? They look at the man of God as the enemy. We're living in a culture that their hearts have been severed and their hearts are sinful. And if you agree with that, would you shout a big amen? Amen. It's the same old story in the garden. The enemy tried to convince as Eve partook and then Adam partook. And you remember the story. And it was almost as if the enemy, the devil in hell, was painting to Adam and Eve, especially Eve, as Eve was the one deceived. And then Adam partook. And I don't have time, but as the real story unveils, the enemy says, yea, hath God said. In other words, God is holding something back from you. And that's the same old line he's been feeding for years. If you agree with that, would you shout a big amen?
Amen.
I never understood. I'm glad I'm an evangelist and not a pastor. Because they get upset at me. But I'm going to be real with y'all. We're living in a day when people want to go far, far away where they have no restrictions and no rules and no demands. They live like they want to live. And God began to deal with me and said, the boy has a sensual heart and the boy had a severed heart. He doesn't want to live by the Father's rules and the Father's command. He sees his daddy as the enemy. And I'm telling you right now, whether you amen or not, we are living in that age where the people on this planet view God as the enemy instead of the friend. So I don't have time and I got to go. I'm already on point number three and I feel good. It's only, don't look back. I mean, there's a watch back there, but don't look back. You got to remember Lot's wife. You just don't. You don't look back. He has a sensual heart. He has a severed heart. I want you to write this down. I'll be brief. Number three, I want you to notice with me, he has a senseless heart. He had a sensual heart. He has a severed heart. He has a senseless heart. Have you heard this since you've been saved? Or even before you were saved, Brother Beal, we hear this line. He's just not thinking right. I don't want to leave the ladies out. She's just not thinking right. Some of you men look nervous. We got one that's got enough guts to amen. Listen, it's not just a male issue. It's all of us. Would you shout amen? That have senseless hearts, that are not thinking clear, that are making decisions and making choices, Brother Carl, that absolutely don't make any sense. I'm going to shock all y'all. I'm going to say it anyhow. I got family members. I got people I love making choices and making decisions that don't make any sense. Why would a mama with children stay out till 5 in the morning? It don't make any sense. Amen. Why would a daddy trying to raise children stay out all night? It don't make any sense.
Amen.
If you agree with that, would you shout amen? Now, I could go on. They're living carelessly. It doesn't make any sense. And Brother Carl, here is the sermon. So I said, okay, God, I'm beginning to get the wayward, wandering heart of this boy. And I said, but how could I make it even more plain? And this is what he gave me. He said, Derek, this boy has distorted values. Now, don't fall out. Just listen. Don't. If you want to write that down, write it down. He has distorted values. I'll try to make it make sense by this little example. If we had a group of children in here and we all handed them red, blue, and green bracelets. Now listen to me. Red, blue, and green bracelets. Brother Bob, red, blue, and green bracelets. Some are made of plastic. Some are made of glass. Now, here's the thing you need to know. The red, blue, and green bracelets that are made out of plastic, hard plastic, and glass, they are of the same value. One's not worth more than the other. And so they got red, blue, and green. And they all some have hard plastic, some have glass. And they're in this setting and they're in this room and they begin to exchange the goods, the bracelets. They swap them out. One's got the hard plastic, the other's got the glass. Would you agree with the man of God? We would think nothing of it. Same value. But if a man come in here or a young man came in here in the class and begin to give away gold, silver, rubies and diamonds for the red, blue, and green bracelets. Everybody look up here. We'd all go, something don't add up. I mean, we're all sharp enough to know that. Amen. Something doesn't add up. Why would you give away the gold and the silver and the rubies and the diamonds for these little trinkets that have no value, that have no lasting effect? And everybody look up here. When the boy left his home, he left everything. He's got, when he sat down to eat, he ate the finest of foods. He lived in luxury. He had it all. He had life. He had it all. Everything was his way. And then he goes out and trades it for the beggarly elements of this world. Would you agree with me? He's got distorted values. I don't know why. Every day I come to church, someone said, well, you go a lot. Yeah, I do. But I love the Lord. And there's nothing better than Him. There's nothing holier than Him. Ladies and gentlemen, the trinkets of this world cannot compare to the godliness and the righteousness and your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Would you agree with me? How in the world would you trade this for a pig pen?
Amen.
It's distorted values. Now, I said I would, and I've only preached a few moments. Somebody grin. And I feel like I'm doing good. No. I'm not talking about good preaching. I'm just saying good on time. I just want you to feel like you can amen that. I learned a long time ago what one person thinks is good preaching, the other one don't. I'm not, let me get off that. I'll go. I said, okay, sensual heart, severed heart, senseless heart. I'm just as shocked. Number four, if you take notes, I want you to jot this down. Number four, he has a stubborn heart. Now, I got to give it to you. Go to verse 14. I want to show you verse 14. And I'm in Luke 15, verse 14. And I'm probably going to read a few verses, but let's look at verse 14. Luke 15, verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Now note this. And he began to be in want. Now let's just for time's sake. He spent all. There arose a mighty famine. And he's in want. Now, before I read on, everybody look up here. Do you know what we call it in the church? We got a word for stubborn. We don't call it stubborn because that doesn't sound spiritual. He's determined.
She's determined. I wish I knew some folks in here real well. So I'll use my own self. If you were to ask my wife today, is Derek stubborn? Everybody look up here. She said, ain't no doubt about it. Stubborn. Now, because she's not here, this will work real good. Derek, is your wife stubborn? You don't even know how. I mean, she's real stubborn. If I wanted to be spiritual, she's real determined. You know why we laugh? We know what it is to be stubborn. We identify with stubborn. Would you agree with that? Now, here's how I know he was stubborn. Look at verse 14. He spent all. There arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. Now, hey, it ought to follow verse 14 should be verse 17. Because verse 17 is when he came to himself. That ain't how the Bible's written. There's verse 15. Look at verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Let me break that down. Stubborn. Boy, sometimes when you really got a good one, you just say the obvious and you're always looking for something profound. He's stubborn. That's why he's in want. That's why there's a famine. Hey, and he's lost it all. And there's a famine and he's in want. And instead of running to his father, he's out at a party or out at wherever he's at. You fill in the blank. Whether he's at a bar or he's at I don't know. You get your own interpretation. But he's out there having the time. And he's out there. And Brother Carl, here's how I know he's stubborn. He's out there and he meets a man that's got means. He meets a man that has money. And here's what he does. He said, hey, sir. He said, I know you're a businessman. I can tell how you dressed. I can tell you how you look. You got money. And sir, I want to work for you. The man said, meet me in the morning down at my office. And everybody look up here, I'm going to make this real good. He goes down there expecting to be in the office. And the man says, go outside and get the bucket. You're going to feed my hogs. Now, you know what he does? Because he's so stubborn, he gets the bucket and he slops the hogs. Now it's time to make a spiritual reference. We will do everything in our power except Christ. We'll go get a bucket. Y'all hear me? We'll go work and slop hogs. We'll get involved in gnats and flies and guts. And I'm preaching better than your amen. And the stench of this world because we're too stubborn. Hey, would you agree with the man of God? He has a sensual heart. He has a severed heart. You're not hearing me. He has a senseless heart. And he has a stubborn heart. And I ask myself, as I zigzag around America, Brother Carl, and I watch people hold on to the back of pews. I watch people, y'all gonna be shocked at this. I watch people that won't even look me in the eye after the service is over. They're mad at me. And I'm trying to be sweet and loving. They're not mad at me. They got issues with God.
And they're stubborn and they're hard-headed and they're determined. I'm going to figure out life. I'm going to figure out how to make it. I'm going to guess if I got to drag myself through. Hey, listen to me. If you believe the pig pen is God's best for you, you're crippled too high for crutches to help. God wants you to be in the Father's house. God wants you to get the blessings and the benefits and the potential and all God has for you. That's your Father. Now, I cannot believe I'm already wrapping this thing up. I feel like I'm preaching really, really fast. I was hoping for a grin. Here it is. I'm done. I say that it's sensual, severed, senseless, stubborn. I close my last point. I've been waiting all day. Some of you are going to love this point. I don't know if you like 1, 2, 3, and 4, but you might like this one. Number 5, he has a surrendered heart. Now, give me 5 minutes. If you give me 5 minutes, can I see your hand? Anybody give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 20. Woo! That's a joke. No, here it is. He's been in the pig pen. And he slump talks. He's walked through the process. He is more involved in temporary things than eternal things. He has severed his relationship with his Father. He's been senseless. He's been stubborn. And Brother Bill, he's slopping hogs. He's got dirt on him. He's got mud on him. He's got manure on him. And he stinks. And he said something that I'll never get over. How many of my Father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise. Woo! I'm going back home. I'm going to surrender my life to my Father. I'm going to get to eat at my Father's. Y'all ain't hear me. I'm going to surrender my life. Now, I want to show you something maybe you've not thought of, or maybe you have. His story starts off real bad, but it ends real good. Hey, everybody look up here. I love you. We're going into the Christmas season and Hollywood. Hey, listen, everybody look up here. Here's what Hollywood paints a lot. They sometimes start them off good and end them good. Everybody look up here. Fairy tale. Fairy tale. Most, let me say it loud and clear. Most of our lives start off bad and end prayerfully good. You know what I pray as a traveling evangelist? I prayed a lot. God, let some hard-hearted man or woman surrender to your authority today. Let somebody put their faith in you today. I've literally traveled the globe. I preach here and there, and I'm not a superstar. I'm not even, I don't know. I'm just an evangelist. God called me to do what I do. And listen to me. Maybe you walked in today and listened to the sermon. Let it sink in. Maybe you walked in today and you got a sensual heart. Maybe you got a severed heart. Maybe you got a senseless heart. Maybe you got a stubborn heart. And you know it's real. If we're really real, you ought to be able to identify. Now, I know how we are in church. Let me go ahead and spell it out. We're churchy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Get over that. Just get real with me. Let's be real. And let's let God deal with our hearts. Would you stand all over the room today?